Broadcasting Network.
Host Ingrid Castle, and I do have an announcement. You know, I really did not know how sick Al Whitney was, and I probably knew her a lot better than many of you, being her co-host on In Defense of Humanity until 2016. So anyway, or 2017, I don't remember, but sometime. Anyway, we've, of course, kept in touch as friends over the years. My life just took a little bit of a different direction, and she was clearly in charge of the show, and she wanted to be, and I was great about that. But I really didn't know quite how ill she was. Some people don't realize that she just celebrated her, well, probably didn't celebrate, but she just turned 70 at the end of last month, and so she was probably not really celebrating it back then, because I think she missed most of her shows in May, and I know I picked up on May 25th, so I would like all of our listeners who care about, you know, her websites, I would certainly ask any listeners out there that want the material to try to rescue that material, because I don't know how long her websites will be up, anticorruptionsociety.com, as well as Parents Against Mandatory Vaccines. So, you know, and her husband is older than her. She was very, very private that, you know, Al Whitney is obviously not her real name, but anyway, she, I certainly would encourage people to, if you have condolence letters or anything, you can email the, I mean, you can send them to me or email them to me. I'll try printing them out. My address is on my website, Vaccination Liberation. The address is there, vaclib.org. My other website is humbleweed.net, and my address is also there under contact and on the shop page. So I, you know, you could always mail me any cards or condolence cards. I can't give out their address. I did send a condolence card to her husband. I can't say his name right now because of, you know, the privacy issue. She was very, very private. So I just wanted you to, you know, send a prayer to her husband, because when I did try to call, this is how I knew she, you know, verified the information that she clearly passed, is that when I went ahead and called the house, it rang off the hook, and the answering machine, he obviously unplugged it because she was in charge of that too, and her voice was on the answering machine, so he probably just said, I hear her voice anymore. It was too upsetting to him to hear her voice, probably. So I just want people to know, to, if they have condolence cards, they can email me, or they can, and I'll print them out and I'll send them to her husband. So with that said, this is June 15th, the day before Father's Day, and we do have an important show and an important guest, and I just want to, before I even introduce him, I did mention at the last show who he is, but he's quite amazing. And one of the reasons I'm having him on is to dispel the germ theory of disease. It really is time we stop blaming these microbes, the microbial universe. Here we have the Microbiome Project. The results came out in June of 2012. The New York Times even reported on it, in good health, thank your 100 trillion bacteria. We live in a universe teeming with microbes, and specific microbes that are associated with disease only proliferate when there's problems with exposure to carcinogens, pesticides, dioxins, you name it. I mean, you know, the toxic world. And he's done a lot of research on radiation too. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce him, because this is a topic dear to my heart. There's only a few people in the world that are really hammered in on dispelling the germ theory of disease, and why vaccines really need to be outlawed, because they have nothing, these microbes have nothing to do with causing disease. They are literally the result of disease, and the disease takes place when there is, you know, toxic debris accumulated in the body or exposure to something toxic, and it can be radiation, as we're going to find out. So anyhow, Jim West is my guest, and Jim West is probably best known internationally for his research on the history of polio, specifically the pesticide connection to the incidence of polio. His research has led him to see the fallacy of the germ theory of disease, as I mentioned, in favor of the environmental precursors underlying all illness we see today. His research has been continually cited by other researchers who have been exposing the truth about SARS. Remember SARS? It was in China and in Canada. West Nile virus, H1N1, the bird flu, the pig flu. I mean, it goes on and on. But also polio. And one of his books, his first book that he put out, DDT, Polio, Virology versus Toxicology. And that was updated in 2014. It's on his website. You go to Harvoa, HARVOA.org. That's HARVOA.org. And his more recent books have covered diagnostic ultrasound, and he calls it DUS for short, but we also refer to it as prenatal ultrasound. And he was the main researcher the only one, I think, that actually found the only human studies ever conducted using prenatal ultrasound. There were no human studies, there were only animal studies. And yet they've approved it in this country and in countless other countries without any, you know, human trials. And obviously, there is one country that had these trials, and that would be China, because China limited every parent to having only one child. So if the woman got pregnant a second time, she was up for an experiment ahead of the abortion. So they examined the aborted fetal tissue and did, there were 50, I believe 50 experiments done in China. And so we wrote a book, 50 Human Studies in Utero Conducted in Modern China Indicate Extreme Risk for Prenatal Ultrasound, a new bibliography by Jim West. And then he has another one. The most recent one is Ultrasound Causation of Microcephaly, Zika virus, this whole thing that, you know, remember in Brazil, they were trying to blame it on, you know, vaccines in pregnancy, or was it pesticides there? And Jim West really nails it. This book is shocking. And I was privileged to be able to see his manuscript before he actually published it and make some commentary. So it's actually really important. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome Jim to the program. So thank you, Jim, for coming on my new show, Immunize Wisely. So it's an incredible honor for me to go on and on about how great you are.
Well, it's a great honor to be here, Ingrid, and you can just keep going on and on. I'm having a wonderful time hearing this.
Well, what I want to know, what led you to even become interested in researching, diagnostic ultrasound and prenatal ultrasound?
Okay. A very close young friend of mine was going to have a child. She was pregnant, and for 12 years I had very diplomatically tried to set her up so she would not have that ultrasound. I didn't want to cause a rebellion, because you know how young people are. You tell them something and they want to do the opposite just because you're older than they are, you know. And
right.
And then, you know, in the last few months, I even told my mom. I said, "Wow, you know, she's not going to have an ultrasound. This is amazing. She's not," because she told me that if anybody wants, you know, says that she should have ultrasound, she said, "Well, they should just talk to you then." And I was so happy, you know. And I told my mom, and my mom said, "Oh no, she'll have ultrasound." And I said, no, you're crazy. She's not going to have it. Just, she's different, you know. No, she's going to have it." And you don't even know her, mom. No, she's going to have ultrasound. And sure enough, she announced that she's going to have ultrasound at the around the 20th week or the 18th week. And I hadn't really done it. I had read Dr. Mendelsohn's work, where he says, you know, beware of ultrasound, you know. And that was about, well, and I'd read some in Midwifery Today, you know, great articles on ultrasound, you know. So I was, I didn't want ultrasound to be happening. And sure enough, I could not talk to her. She would not allow a conversation, you know. I don't know if it's a millennial thing or what, but I thought maybe I would sit on the street in front of her apartment and beg her or something, but I didn't think any of that would work, you know, seeing the way that it was going. So I just started doing tons of research, figuring I would convince her with an overwhelming amount of research. And out of that grew mm-hmm. my book, you know. But it didn't fail.
So how did you find, you know, I was going to do the germ theory, but this is so fascinating. How did you find those 50 Chinese studies? I mean, wow.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was heavy into the DDT polio and many other disease criticisms based on the on virus theory. So I was pretty educated in the area of virology. And a big part of virology for all the testing and the research is this Western blot type of test. It's a simple test. It's like a paper chromatography in a way, but they use gelatin and they put mm-hmm. a biological sample in there, and they run a mild voltage through it, a direct current, and that tends to pull apart the molecules for observation and analysis, right? And I was thinking, wow, they ought to do that with ultrasound to see what it does to DNA, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I asked some famous ultrasound scientists if they'd ever heard of that. And one said, "If you're a professional, unless you're a professional, I won't talk to you. But here's some people you can go to talk to, right?" And then I came back to the same person about, well, I reinforced the question, made it clearer, and I got no answer, right? So I figured there's no such thing. But the thing is, I kept looking around the internet, and I used those keywords, and I found a Chinese study beautifully done to all the formalities of what a study should be. And it found that at a fraction of the intensity of ultrasound that is normally used here in the United States, that DNA fragmentation and disintegration of the mitochondria is always going to happen. You know, it's every time you know, it's going to happen.
This is interesting, you know, to me. I mean, Jim, I realize, you know, with midwives today, they all use Dopplers, which are ultrasound.
Right. Yeah, for a heart.
So how do you even have a natural birth with a midwife without any ultrasound? I mean, or you just have to wing it without a midwife at all? Because all midwives today use these Dopplers.
Well, all the midwives, I think, if they want to keep their job, they realize they're formally or otherwise under the thumb of the modern medicine. I think they've been co-opted a long time ago. It's hard. I don't think you can find an independent midwife, and she's taken a big risk if she is truly independent. So what's the question then?
I was just realizing that all the births I've dealt with midwives, they're all using ultrasound near the end. I mean, they're using ultrasound.
Right.
These Dopplers.
And
a lot of people don't associate Dopplers with ultrasound, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, well, the World Health Organization reviewed ultrasound technology back in 1982, I believe it was, and it refused to endorse routine ultrasound, and it stated that the fetal heart monitoring with ultrasound is just as dangerous as regular ultrasound. However, that was back in a day before 1991 when ultrasound was considerably lower intensity. But still, nevertheless, they weren't going to endorse fetal heart monitoring or anything like that because the science was showing way back in the 80s that it was too dangerous, you know.
Tell everyone what happened in 1991 and where the FDA, we call it the Federal Death Administration, they arbitrarily increased the limit of the SBTA. Can you go into what the spatial peak temporal average and what that means and in relationship to the Chinese studies?
Well, the parameter they use for measuring the intensity of ultrasound is most often the SPTA, the spatial pressure peak average or whatever. But
it's spatial temporal average. I wrote it down. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
trust me, your book. It's okay.
Sure. But I try to just avoid that term and just talk about higher and lower intensity and stuff like that. But it's a parameter that because ultrasound is so random in a way, it's really hard to say exactly what a particular transducer is radiating. They use averages of peak or average peak frequency or what, you know, but it's actually a lot of frequencies and harmonics and subharmonics and all radiating from a piezoelectric quartz crystal that she shoves up somebody's vagina, you know, to take a look at the baby. So, you know, that is it. And now, what am I supposed to say? I'm sorry, I flipped out.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Maybe I wasn't clear in framing that. So we have, they were very concerned when it was lower intensity before 91 in the 80s, okay? And then after 91, they increased the intensity, the spatial peak temporal average or whatever, but they increased the intensity basically eightfold from 94 CM2 to 720 MW, you know, /CM2, you know, anyway, this measurement. So this is like eightfold.
Yeah.
And the Chinese studies were at what intensity mostly?
Yeah. Okay. The Chinese studies vary from like a tenth of the intensity that one would find in the United States up to the same intensity one could find in the United States. So they're using real ultrasound machines. They're not using some laboratory ultrasound generator. They're just turning them on at a fairly low intensity, and then they're using a variability of time exposure, like 5 minute, 10 minute, 20 minute. And they have like four groups. Then they'll have a placebo group, which is where they use the machine, but it's turned off, you know. And then they just analyze this very simple experiments. That's what they do. But yeah, so in that original study that I found using the Western blot technique, there were footnotes leading to other Chinese studies. So I just kept going back through every study and cataloging them and looking in their footnotes and more. And then out of that grew a lot of studies, about approximately 50 studies. And they all were pretty damning about ultrasound, you know. But
So what are some of these injuries? Why don't you share some of the injuries that were detected in these aborted fetuses?
Well, what they did is they focused on various organs, like the thyroid, the eyes, we'll see, the heart. They would also they did studies of the ova in a woman. They would basically radiate a woman like in a typical diagnostic ultrasound process, and then do an abortion and study the abortive matter. They would also study. There's a lot of studies on the villi that connect the mother to the baby. And through which the nutrients and the oxygen flow. And and then the guy who was promoting these, Ruo Feng, he was, if you look at his resume, compared to anybody else's resume, it's he was like the reigning king of ultrasound science in China, and his resume probably supersedes or is more impressive than anybody's resume that anybody could have. So he was promoting these studies at the behest and in encouragement of one of the most politically powerful scientists in the United States. So who never talked about these? So the United States scientists never talked about these or admitted they were even happening. But nevertheless, these were conducted in China beginning around 1988. They were awarded a prize at the annual convention that that is held in the United States. It's an international convention for a great contribution to ultrasound science. But I think it was sort of like a prize awarded in recognition of great science, but then let's ignore it, you know. So
right.
So they did these studies beginning in 1988, and they continued doing them, but nobody followed up on them from the West, and nobody recognized that they were doing this, you know. And so the findings were pretty shocking. Like Ruo Feng summed them up by saying that anything over 3 minutes, well, he said it basically any ultrasound whatsoever is going to lessen the quality of the child. That's the way he would diplomatically say it. And then anything over 3 minutes is clearly in the danger zone. And anything over 5 minutes exposure is just really getting, you know, heavily unsafe, you know. Now, right. You know, what does a person do in the United States to deal with this is not an easy question to ask, because it depends on the individual. Even if somebody was convinced that ultrasound was dangerous, like from our talk today, they would want to talk to the authorities, and they should, about this, and they'll probably get talked out of our conversation here and assured that everything's fine. And, you know, because I guess it's a good time to say I'm not an authority and I'm not an official expert. But I firmly believe, because so many scientists have told me that this stuff is really dangerous, you know. So,
well, it's certainly interfering with the proper development of a child when you say that. I mean, you know, obviously it's going to impact the cells, the immune system. I mean, this is a developing embryo that is very sensitive to toxicology, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's that's why it's so well protected in the mother, but medicine found a way to get to it, you know, with radiation.
And then now they're trying to give pregnant women vaccines, you know, while she's pregnant too, even though I remember reading an article in the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, you know, with Dr. Jane Orient. Anyway,
yeah, I'm aware. Yeah.
That 12 years ago, and that was shocking, just the studies that they had done of vaccines during pregnancy, and to see that they've never been approved and they're still pushing them on top of the ultrasound. I mean, I don't see how any child could really survive and thrive if they're attacked at this level in utero, you know. So it seems to me, you know, that this level of attack on our progeny is a threat to our national security, just like Joy Garner mentioned last week, you know, with the control group. We're trying to find people in the control group, and this is just the vaccines, someone who has never been vaccinated. But what about prenatal ultrasound and being never vaccinated? They could have, you know, they could have had a few ultrasounds, and certainly if they were born at home, a midwife could have come with her Doppler. So all of these things are weakening the genetic structure, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, I think that probably 98% of all young people nowadays are damaged, and looking retrospectively with the realization that my mother and her generation and the generations before were undergoing routine prenatal x-rays, I look back on my parents. Like, for instance, my father had rickets, right, when he was young, and I was reading the symptoms of rickets, and I was going, this, you know, like, which is bowed legs and a bent skeletal structure and all. And I thought, well, this sounds like x-ray damage. You know, I'm reading x-ray damage. It's
right.
You know, it's another one of these fake diseases. And the whole vitamin D thing was just an effort to find a fake cause for rickets, because now it's coming out that vitamin D is really just sort of a hoaxy thing. According to some people, and
I agree. You actually do, though, need real sunshine. People, I'm very concerned, you know, dealing with a few people that just never see the light of day. And I do believe that real sunlight on your skin has a huge health benefit, and even getting sunlight through your eyes, because Andrea Moritz has a whole book on that, and I find it fascinating. You know, we're not talking about pill popping vitamin D. We're talking about the benefits of sunshine on your skin.
Yeah, I think, though, that you can probably get a software app that'll you know, give you a good synthetic sunshine thing on your computer.
You know, I actually have a friend. You know, we should be going on a break soon. I think we kind of skipped the first one, so let's just go ahead, Ken, and take a break. And you're listening to Ingrid Castle with Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network with my guest Jim West of Harvoa.org, author of several books. He's fascinating and lives in the epicenter here in New York City.
Right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Immunize wisely. Gosh, I just about said in defense of humanity. Wow, I still I'm losing it. But yeah, I want everyone to know that I'm sure her husband would appreciate her fans, you know, sending a card or something. Anyway, I want to get back to the show with Jim West because we have so much to discuss, and I actually wanted to open up with his excellent article on measles. We could talk about ultrasound for a long time because my own one and only granddaughter was clearly injured by one ultrasound. And, you know, we have, I just want to mention this, Jim, is that we have an epidemic too of children that have a shorter leg syndrome, or, you know, like a curved femur, or, you know, some problem where they have to go to children's hospital and they require surgery. Well, she's one of those. I mean, at birth, her left leg was half an inch shorter than the other one, and it was a curved femur, and it absolutely is a classic radiation type of injury. And so, yeah, there's been many things that have gone on, I kept her from losing her life at one point, but she is going to get surgery, just not as bad as the initial one that they were going to have, that had a high incidence of mortality, you know, and the, family was
familiar,
you know.
Yeah, Ingrid, I'm familiar with that story. It almost sounds like you're talking about some of the things I've been through with newborns, you know. The curve.
Right, and it's so sad. Yeah. I mean, this is actually a common injury that can be induced by ultrasound that affects the developing skeletal structure. And you know, it also affected her immune system. It was very high dosage. I don't think it was calibrated, because basically the only ultrasound she got was at Planned Parenthood, and my daughter was too far along, and I said, we're changing the channel here. So that, you know, long story short, that high intensity, which I think it was very high intensity, was the only ultrasound. But the point I wanted to make is that it definitely weakened her immune system, because she did get one vaccine under a lot of pressure from the father, and it was the MMR vaccine. So that, from this, I want to morph into the whole measles thing and this whole MMR vaccine. But she was 4 years old and got her one and only vaccine that I know about, and developed a bee allergy out of the blue. And I know the molecular weight of the protein in the vaccines can be the same molecular weight as the protein in some allergens. But I also know that all these kind of allergies are, you have to have some, you know, something injected, some foreign protein injected in. But I was in such cognitive dissonance, I couldn't believe my only granddaughter would be injected when her mother's never had any kind of injection. So I was like, But she was pretty young.
So her exposure...
Yeah, go ahead. You could interject, but I just want... you to know this whole allergy, it took us a while to clear up the allergy, and this is the MMR. This is the MMR vaccine that they are mandating in New York, where you live, Jim. And, you know, they just signed into law, Cuomo just signed into law that there's basically no religious exemptions, and it's a total assault on the already vaccine injured there, where their children are in special ed. Because the parents can't deal with a lot of the level of disability from these children, that, and it's often the MMR vaccine that takes them over the edge. So do you want to go ahead and tell us whatever you want to interject, because you did write a great article on your website that we can direct people to about the measles cases in New York.
Well, let me just reflect on what you just said for a second. Was the vaccine you were talking about, was it administered after the ultrasound?
Ultrasound was when she was about 3 months pregnant, and that was the only ultrasound. And then when she was 4 years old, she got an MMR vaccine.
Okay.
And her immune system was... she was fairly healthy, but I think it affected her immune system, because she reacted very bad to the shot and then developed this bee allergy where she'd swell up. She'd have to go to the hospital. And so I gave her a bunch of herbs and tea. She's very into health and very amenable. So I had her taking a blend with Chaparral and all these things to kind of clear it out of her system. So she, one summer when she was about six, she stepped on a whole hive of a whole wasp nest, and then got stung later twice that year, and we just put baking soda on it one time and clay on another time, and she was fine. So we were able to clear it out of her system in a couple of years, so that she wasn't so hypersensitive to wasp stings.
Okay, so I was wondering, whether the vaccine occurred after the ultrasound, and you said after. Because there have been some cell studies on ultrasound where they found that the ultrasound causes immune dysfunction when it's applied at any trimester, but it has been found to reduce the immunological defenses by a factor of 100 to any subsequent poisoning. So a child having been exposed the ultrasound in the womb, is born super vulnerable to any subsequent assault, whether it be an antibiotic or vaccine, which is going to have an antibiotic built into it as a preservative, mm-hmm. or a bee sting or whatever. They're very vulnerable. They can look normal, they can act normal, but they're, and that's why you have the later diagnoses, in my opinion, of ADHD mm-hmm. or autism, because ultrasound basically produces a child that's like a crystal house. It's just a very tender, looks beautiful, but it's ready to crumble. And then when they start giving vaccines to the children, that just is the coup de grace, you know, which leads to mm-hmm. obviously and easily diagnosed diseases. But preceding the vaccine, it's not easy to diagnose, but it is fundamentally ultrasound. Another argument for ultrasound causation in this regard is that it is generally agreed among autism experts that autism is initiated, not diagnosed or caused, but it's initiated. The fundamental physiology of autism is established at the 20th week gestation. They know this because they've analyzed the cortex layers, which are mm-hmm. are which grow and develop in the fetus in a certain sequence, and they know that this occurs around the 20th week. They do autopsies on autistic people who have died, like they can be 20 years old, whatever, but they could still analyze the brain and find out that the fundamental damage occurs at the 20th week, around the 20th week gestation. And that's exactly when the doctor says, it's time to see your baby. Don't you want to see your baby? It's time to get that ultrasound, you know.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing that's really happening that is so severe and so proven to be severely high risk. It's ultrasound. It's just so obvious. There is nothing else that has so much evidence pinpointing this initiation period. So that's I think it's a slam dunk argument. Mm-hmm. And
I totally agree. I mean, because I see it, you know, I think it further weakens, and then, you know, the whole midwife thing and using these Dopplers is concerning. So, you know, the best we can do now is just to make sure that they don't get vaccinated. Because even Joy Garner admits that, you know, not everyone that's totally unvaccinated is healthy. She's getting to be, you know, it's about 90%, and I think it increases their health overall if they've never been vaccinated and they're older, you know, because the older you are, the less likely you're going to be at the increased intensity or, you know,
right.
even have a hospital birth or, you know,
right.
the increased
you
intensity
born before
after
1991. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I want, let's go ahead and get going on the measles article you wrote. It's in your blog on harvoa.org. He has a blog spot. And in April of this year, you did analysis of the cases from Brooklyn, New York. South Williamsburg was an epicenter. Anyway, it's really quite amazing, your detailed research of this and the toxicology. So, you know, go ahead and lay it out for our listeners so people can follow, you know, why we're having an increase in measles cases this year. It's, you know, a 300% increase between 2018 and 2019, according to the World Health Organization. Why is this global measles incident risen, and particularly in this area of New York?
Well, what I'm proving, you know, in order to avoid arguments, I'm not saying that I'm proving that the environment is causing measles, but I'm saying I'm proving that the Department of Health is avoiding and omitting anything to do with the environment as a cofactor, and that they are thereby guilty of gross negligence in attacking people who are not vaccinating. They're fining the Hasidics, who are the main population of this epidemic, $1,000 if they are found not to be vaccinated in the epidemic area. You know, but there's three epicenters in New York, which I studied, and every single one of them is in the midst of EPA Superfund sites. These are sites that are hopelessly poisoned by industry, either current industry or previous industry, because the dumping of poisons into the soil of New York goes back 200 years. You know, the shipbuilding and arsenic and mercury. And nowadays it's more likely to be chlorine in addition to all these heavy metals and refinery products. But New York used to have refineries. So I have a chart near the top of the page. You can find this just by going keywords, search Google keywords, Jim West measles, and you'll find this blog. But I have a chart, and you can see that the number of Superfund sites at the epidemic area correspond perfectly with the number of cases. Williamsburg has four Superfund sites. One is a refinery. The other is a petrochemical industry. The other is another refinery, a bunch of power plants, factories. There's the Brooklyn Naval Yard, where they worked on ships, built ships, and maintained ships during World War II. The pictures, I have a lot of pictures here. So you're not going to be bored by this blog here of aerial photos. You know, a lot of aerial photos.
Right, so it's broken up by pictures illustrating your points. It's not just pure text.
Yeah. Because, you know, so you can see the pollution. I have World War II pictures of the area. There's a refinery dumped 40 million gallons of garbage into the earth of the main measles center decades ago. The EPA has just gotten around to remediating that. That's their official term. So they've taken these giant pumps and they set them up in the area, and they pump out the water, which is totally polluted, and they separate the poison refinery solvents and garbage, and they throw the water back in the soil, which still has a huge amount of poison in it, but it goes back in the soil and in the water table. And then they take the more substantial petrochemical material and they put it into trucks, and they pipe it, or boats or whatever, and they remove it from the area and dump it somewhere else on the earth, you know. But they get it out of the area because this area is really extremely valuable. This is New York City, Brooklyn area. They're starting, the city, back around 1979, 76, they bought this land, and which was at Brooklyn Naval Yard. And the whole idea is to build it up into a huge you know, luxury apartment area, because it's by the river, and you know, a lot of restaurants and stores and whatever. They're going to build up the whole site. They've been working on this for decades, and they're not going to let, you know, a measles epidemic that they caused. This is all my hypothesis that they caused block them from making money off this real estate area. So the DOH, as usual, comes in and saves them with a fake diagnostic and calls this a measles epidemic. So there's three measles epidemics in New York State. Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which has four Superfund sites and around 500 cases. Then there's the Rockland County upstate epidemic, which is around 300 cases, and it has two Superfund sites adjacent. And then you have the Borough Park, Brooklyn area, which has around 100 cases, and it has one Superfund site. So you can see the relationship is based on how poisoned the earth is to these epidemics. Now, what's interesting is that in all three areas, you have the highest concentrations of Hasidic Jews living there, and they generally are anti-vaccine. I've been really studying up on this culture, and they're an amazing group. They're a little bit like the Christian Scientists, who were practically sued out of existence because they were anti-vaccine and anti-medicine. These people are anti-medicine. On YouTube, you can see them saying to the news media, you know, heal thyself. Don't go see a doctor. I will never vaccinate my child. The women, they sound like Joan Rivers, you know, because they have that sharp Jewish attack going. And there's a doctor they're talking to on the street there. And they're just telling them that they have more education than he does. They know the studies.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. Hold that thought. and we'll just continue after the break.
Great.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back to Immunize Wisely. I'm your host, Ingrid Castle, and my guest, Jim West from New York, and his fantastic website, Harvoa, that's HARVOA.org. We only have a couple more minutes before the top of the hour, and I'm going to hold off on callers. I just want you to know that. But we do have our own chat room, thanks to Myrrh Bailey, and she's hosted all kinds of great links about Jim West and what other people have said, and you know about the ultrasound issue. And so you can go to Immunize Wisely. That's Wisely with a Z. It's stylized.chattango, chattango.com. So you can see the link that we're talking about to his blog about the measles outbreak in New York, and they just lost their right to a religious exemption, and it's very difficult to get a medical exemption. And right now, these parents of vaccine injured children that need the state services of special needs are freaking out because they don't want to send their kid into any more damage. You know, it's hard enough to have enough money to just try to recover them, let alone, you know, just dealing with someone that's that damaged. So anyway, without any further ado, let's go ahead and continue where we left off. So you're dealing with what we were talking about, Jim, was the different, there are basically three epicenters, right?
In New York.
Right.
There's also one in Washington State and Vancouver, Portland area. And there was
That's
one in
true.
The Illinois area. But they're all
right.
They're all near, just like the New York State epidemics, they're all near these old defense industries. They're near Superfund sites. They're all near polluted areas. And the next largest, well, excuse me, I'd say even larger than that is an epicenter in Israel, which is 200 times the United States incidence. It's huge, right? And at the same time, the Israeli health department is declaring that fracking is too dangerous and it needs to be banned. And
right.
And then the other really big measles epicenter is in Ukraine, and it is 500 times greater than the United States incidence, despite our record high incidence here of measles. They have it 500 times. So it must be incredibly toxic, according to this poison theory of measles, in Ukraine. And I've
right.
noticed when I review the fracking news literature from the industry, it looks like Ukraine is considered to be the next gold mine for fracking. And Joe Biden and his son are heavily involved in getting the pipeline running to that fracking from the Ukraine. It's a large part of what's this
okay.
whole Russian-U.S.
This is very interesting to me. So hold that thought. We're going to continue at the top of the hour. Thank you, Jim.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you